So the word this morning is not a word, it's many words. And I know it might sound repetitive when I stand here and say it, but I really am feeling very blessed and very grateful to those who serve, to those who give up of their time. It's not really giving up of your time. You're actually investing your time in the Lord and in His work and in His service to stand up here and to teach and to impart knowledge. You know, we don't always, when we sit and read the Bible, we don't understand all the time what we're reading. And I think this is one of the glories of God, is that He puts people in our lives that can speak into our lives, even if it's just through a teaching or a sermon or a message in the morning. So thank you, Lord, for provision. Thank you for my mother. And Lord, I just pray a special blessing on my mom. As her and my dad go off for a little, well, I'd like to call it rest, but we all know that it's actually going to be work. But just a change of scenery, and Lord, I just pray for a reignition, for a reinvigoration of your Spirit in their lives, Lord. Continue the work that you're doing. And Lord, may this spill over into everybody else. Lord, bless the message this morning. Open our hearts and our ears, Lord. And may we listen, not just with worldly ears, but Lord, may these words speak into our spirits and into our souls. Bless you, Lord, and thank you. Amen.
Thank you for those words, Luke, and yes, I echo many of them in that, you know, there's a time to rest and a time to work. All those wonderful words from the book of Ecclesiastes. And I just want to thank the Lord for this time where we can worship, this time where we can join together as a family, as very special people, special to each other, but special to the Lord. And so I thank you for each one of you, and I just pray, yes, as Luke said, that the Lord will open the ears of our hearts. So often we hear, but we listen. Which way does it go? You know, you hear, but you don't really listen. You just let it go. So I just pray that the words that the Lord has given me to share with you today resonate somehow, somewhere, and that we can all take something out of this morning. So I'd like to share with you this morning and revisit a very familiar episode found in Luke chapter 10, verses 38 to 42, and I'm sure it's a story we're all familiar with, the story of Mary and Martha, and let's see where this takes us. Now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore tell her to help me." And Jesus answered her and said to her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed. And Mary has chosen that good part which will not be taken away from her." Familiar story, isn't it? So, my immediate thing is to ask you a question. But before I ask a question, I want to just say to the men in the room, please don't shut your ears once I've asked the question. It applies to all of us, not just to the women in the room. And my question is, are you a Mary or a Martha? And at first glance, and our first, I'm sure, initial reaction is that I'm not Martha, because it seems Mary's the better one, the one who placed listening at Jesus' feet as her priority. But surely a more balanced approach needs to be taken to these two women. Both are wonderful women who represent two different ways to be disciples of Jesus. Martha stands for the doers, those who serve the Lord primarily by their actions. They get things done. But Mary, on the other hand, stands for those who are the hearers and the learners, who sit at Jesus' feet and passively absorb his teachings. But you know, both approaches are equally valid, and both are needed in the church. We have to have some Marys, and we have to have some Marthas. But the goal is to strike a balance. You know, I've always felt a little bit uncomfortable reading this story, because I feel it's a bit unfair that Martha's efforts are seen as not as important as Mary's actions. You know, after all, it was Martha who invited Jesus to the home. It tells us that in verse 38. And you know, when there are guests in the house, someone has to do the work to make the guests feel welcome. In Jewish culture, it's very important to show hospitality to your guests. And there are many instances throughout the Bible where the hosts have to see to the guests' needs for food and water before the visit or the conversations or discussions can begin. So Martha was being obedient to her culture in ensuring that everyone was fed and watered before the visit could actually begin. And remember that in this story, Jesus didn't come alone. He brought along all of his disciples. So preparing a meal for your own family plus at least 12 extra guests needed a lot of time and effort, didn't it? I know I would have felt pretty frustrated if no help from my sister was forthcoming. So we can understand how Martha felt seeing her sister just sitting at Jesus' feet and not lifting a finger to help with the chores. But let's take a closer look at each sister. Martha appears to be the eldest, and as is often the case, the eldest has to take responsibility for many things. To be more practical and efficient. So, Martha is the doer, the worker, the one who keeps things ticking over. Mary, on the other hand, is the younger sister, who probably had life a little easier seeing big sister seem to do most of the work. She might, I suppose at first glance, even seem a bit lazy, do you think? Happy to sit back and let her sister do the work. But please remember that Mary was not always passive and inactive. She is the one who later anointed Jesus' feet with expensive perfume, perfume worth a whole year's wages. And Jesus saw this as a lavish gift of devotion, unlike the way Judas saw things, the disciple who only looked at the cost and not the heart of the act. Mary's attitude is one of conviction, humility, and honor for her Savior who was soon to be crucified. And her attitude is one that God desires. You know, Mary was even something of a rebel, as in the culture of the time, women did not receive formal training from a rabbi. And so it was quite a revolutionary thing for her to put herself in the position of a disciple, sitting and listening and learning at Jesus' feet. And it's also interesting and enlightening to contrast Mary's reverence with Martha's attitude. Have you ever thought about this? Martha was so comfortable with Jesus that she openly included him in her frustration. Her words, "Don't you care?" and "My sister has left me to do the work by myself," show her frustration. And for her to intimate to Jesus that he didn't care that Mary was not helping shows both a close relationship and a considerable freedom to be able to speak so directly to Jesus. She didn't suggest to Jesus to speak to her sister. She told him, "Tell her to help me." But listen to Jesus' gentle and tender reply. "Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things." He explained kindly, not in anger, that Mary had chosen a better path, and that Martha had missed the main point of Jesus' visit, which was to fellowship with her and her family. She was fretting over something that was important to her. But how did that rate in her priorities? So that tells us we need to check our priorities regularly. When there's so much work to be done, it can be difficult to stop and smell the roses. But we all need to do that at times. Take the time to connect with ourselves and with the God who has us in the palm of his hand. I think many of us need to hear Jesus' words to Martha and apply them to ourselves. Hey, you're distracted by so many things. We need a time of quiet and stillness to take stock of our lives and what is most important to us. I recently watched, I'm not sure if any of you did, the Women's Cricket World Cup recently. And there were some wonderful performances by many of the teams, and the Proteas ladies did us very, very proud. But I was moved by the words spoken by Jemima Rodriguez, a young Christian Indian cricketer, who played a huge role in the semi-final match against Australia, the formidable foes, during the recent World Cup. In the post-match interview, when asked how she managed to hit her wonderful knock of 127 runs in searing heat, and she's a little thing, she said, and these were her words, "I had lost energy. I was very tired. I was just repeating one scripture that said, 'Just stand still and God will fight for you.' And I just stood there and he fought for me." This in a post-match interview seen by the whole world. And those words come from Exodus chapter 14, verse 14. What a great testament to her faith, and also to the need to sit still and rely on the Lord for strength. You know, God counts it a very small matter how much time we actually spend in church, how much money we give, or whether we're meeting in a huge auditorium or a small country church, whether we're singing the loudest song or a quiet hymn. God looks at our hearts, at our attitudes. But I sometimes think that the line drawn between listening to God and works can become unclear. Are we being Mary or Martha? Now, we cannot physically sit at Jesus' feet at this time and listen to him. So, what is the better choice for us? Is the minimum we can do just to show up for church? We give, we serve perhaps where or when we can, and think we're doing what God desires of us. Are we paying attention to the message or thinking about what we'll be doing for the rest of the day? And if everyone was a Mary, well, then nothing would get done, would it? It'll all be just words and praise and prayer. No one will be managing the sound desk. The chairs will not be arranged. There'll be no refreshments for us to gather around and fellowship together. The toilets will not be cleaned. Our actions need to reflect the fruit of the Spirit within us. So when we have praised, prayed, and contemplated enough, it is time to put our knowledge and faith into action. Now there's a Greek word which I won't even attempt to pronounce, but there is a Greek word to describe Martha's actions, and that word means to be pulled apart. And that is what distractions do, don't they? They pull us away. What really mattered to Martha was to have Jesus in her home, but her worries and distractions pulled her away from all of that. And the word religion comes from a Latin word, religare, which means to reattach. Now, I don't like that word religion, but there it is. It's a word that we use to talk about our faith. And it means to reattach. So while distractions pull us away from what matters, religion reattaches us to what is important. And that is only one thing, one person, and that is Jesus. You know, there's a great illustration of this from the world of science, and it has to do with a protein molecule called laminin. Now, laminin is a cell adhesion molecule, and I'm by no means a molecular biologist, but this means that laminin is like the glue, it is the glue, that holds our body together. It holds all our cells together. But of course, what is so interesting about this molecule is its shape. Is it up there? Right. If you go to Google Images and type in the word laminin, this is what you will get. Diagrams and pictures taken with powerful microscopes all reveal that the molecule that holds our bodies together is in the exact shape of a cross. And I think this is a powerful reminder to us that Christ Jesus is what holds us together. He is what truly matters. Without him, there is no life. He is the glue that keeps us together in times of worry and distraction. Yes, all these things pull us apart, but Jesus reattaches us, holds us together. His cross, his grace, his mercy, these things keep us close to him. And so we learn from all of this that sometimes it's important to go and do, to serve others, love others, share our faith, to do all those things that Jesus instructs us to do. But it is equally important to spend time with Jesus, to come together to worship him, to spend time in daily prayer, and to constantly learn from him. What Mary is doing then is vital, but so is what her sister is doing. There's nothing wrong with doing either or both, but the motivation is what is important. And it seems that where Martha goes wrong is that she's focused on what she feels she has to do. And so she starts being pulled apart, and her attitude becomes negative. We might be called to serve right now, or we might be called to sit at Jesus' feet. Both are right. But the motivation is what is most important. So it's not what they did, but the attitude with which they did it. So whether we are serving Jesus dinner or sitting at his feet, ask ourselves, are we doing it out of love? In the context of the story, Martha opened her home to Jesus and did her best to be a good hostess, while Mary, on the other hand, opened her heart to Jesus and tried her best to love the Lord. So while Martha labored, Mary listened. She found that place of stillness at the feet of her Lord. Martha was worried about physical nourishment, while Mary was more concerned with the nourishment of her soul. And it bears thinking about that many of us are weak and lacking in spiritual get up and go. We need to have soul food, or we'll dry up in our spirits. Often the level of our connection with Jesus is directly related to the time we are willing to give to him. The larger he is in our eyes, the smaller other things become. John chapter 16, verse 33 reminds us, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." So let us be still and know that he is God. We certainly live in times when worries and plenty of distractions are all around us. And it's all too easy to become bitter and resentful and to find ourselves being dragged down and pulled apart from God, isn't it? So today's message is a reminder to take the time to be Mary, to reattach to our Savior, to what matters, and then to become Martha, roll up our sleeves and get to work for the Lord. So does it matter whether we are Mary or Martha, Mark or Matthew, Peter or Paul? Whichever category you find yourself in, remember that you have a place in this precious family of ours. And Craig's Family Church will always be a home to welcome you. May the Lord bless you and keep you and make his face to shine upon you and give you his peace. Amen.